Stuff to do.
No. Come on, don't talk over the solo. Come on, that's awesome.
The drumming's really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No. What do you, I mean, if I can see behind you right now, it looks like Barbie and the Pink Shoes is on your TV. What do you, that's what you want to watch?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could
be. I know exactly
well,
what it is.
I had to turn it off because I've been doing online NASCAR racing on the Xbox, and it's been consuming my nights.
So you had to put Barbie on?
So I had to put Barbie on, exactly.
No, I get it. All right, yeah. Listeners, fellow podcast fans out there, this is another episode of Yakking Off with Jack and Tom. I am Tom. Jack over there is the Barbie-loving co-host of mine. Wake up, dude. This is gonna be terrible.
No, I'm daydreaming about Barbie.
Yeah, well, yeah. Barbie is.
She is.
She's smoking
the
hot.
Perfect woman, I suppose.
No, absolutely is. You know, and we can. I mean, we'll have to have like a feminist on at some point in the future to discuss about how the evils of Barbie have poisoned the minds of, you know, today's society, which you could make a case for, but
yeah.
It's also made millions and millions of dollars for plastic surgeons around the world. If anything, I would almost think it's a conspiracy. They planned this out.
Probably.
She's made of plastic. They're plastic surgeons. Come on. How could that be a coincidence? There's no way.
Oh.
Yeah, you say you got it now, didn't you?
Plastic. I'm picking up what you're putting
down.
Wait,
plastic explosives? 9/11? Oh, my God.
The Mattel Corporation was behind? No.
No, I was just remembering, you know, memorable moments in history. That's all. Anyway, we're off to a great start. So we got important things to talk about tonight because there has been tons and tons of great television. We've had some old shows come back. We've had some shows that are getting ready to wind down into their season finales. We are going to be talking and yakking all over your TV sets tonight. And I'm going to warn you right now, there will be spoilers. So just keep that in mind while you're listening. But we are definitely going to be talking about The Walking Dead in detail. We will be talking about... What the hell else are we talking about, Jack? Oh, Revolution.
Revolution.
Yeah, Revolution on NBC. And then I'm going to just briefly go over, I don't know, 500 other TV shows that I'm watching right now and just kind of pull out highlights of things that I like. And I'm sure Jack will do the same. But let's go ahead and jump right in. And let's get this thing started the right way. And this is just going to put everybody in the mood. Especially the voice I'm putting on right now.
Hey now.
Are you in the mood, Jack?
I'm always in the mood. All that Barbie talk.
Oh, Barbie, I'm so ready for you. Barbie. That's like blasphemous. Talking over this amazing theme. So let's get started with The Walking Dead, because arguably, I think the rest of the world agrees... 12.4 million viewers tuned in for the season finale of The Walking Dead. We haven't been around to talk about it for a while, so we're a couple weeks behind on at least our discussions. So, I know, Jack, you're all caught up. What did you think of the finale?
Amazing. In a word, amazing. I love that they ended on kind of a cliffhanger. Not really a cliffhanger, but they definitely... wrapped certain stories up, enhanced other stories. It was everything that I hoped, with the exception of I was really hoping the inevitable war with Woodbury would last longer.
Yeah.
But the way they did it was genius, so it didn't really kill my hopes and dreams as much as I thought it would.
Yeah, I had mostly positive reactions to the finale. It kind of left me wanting more action just because of the previews and everything made it look like it was there was going to be this epic battle when, in fact, there, you know, there was everything that you saw in the trailer and the preview happened, but it was kind of more drawn out than that. I thought that the right characters died pretty much was in line with kind of what I was thinking. I knew Milo was going to keep going because, you know, his story arc was basically coming to an end. You can tell the writing on the show is getting a little bit predictable. Not very predictable, but a little bit. So you can almost kind of tell when someone's going to die. I almost thought that Daryl would die, but I guess he's too much of a fan favorite to kill. So they're going to keep him around. It seemed like everyone in the world wanted Andrea to die.
Yes.
You were on that bandwagon too?
I was definitely on that. I've been on that bandwagon since season one, man.
Yeah, I mean, she is kind of annoying. I don't know that I wished her dead. But
she left the CDC, she shot Daryl, she was just fell into the Woodbury trap so easy. It's like, you can't just be this fucking stupid and continue to survive in a survival of the fittest land.
Yeah, she was pretty dumb. Yeah, and then her whole thing about how, oh, I didn't want anyone to die. I just didn't want anyone to die. But I love the way they killed her off. You know, that was really good. Let's see, what else was great? The governor's breakdown was the highlight for sure. You know, that caught me off guard a little bit. I definitely predicted he'd be capable of something like that. I didn't realize it was going to happen when it happened. You know, so
it
that
didn't
was
really
cool.
Catch me off guard so much as like when the trucks pulled over, I knew. It's like, oh shit, he's going to slaughter everybody. But up until that point, I didn't, like, foreshadow him doing that. I thought that he, not necessarily that he cared about the people like he did in, or like they hinted at in the beginning of season three, but I didn't think, I thought that they'd be too valuable to him and too valuable to his cause just to fucking snap and blow them all away.
Yeah, they kind of spun that character as if he, you know, he got off on the power tripping, and it seemed like in the beginning that the reason and the main motive of why he was the governor and why he became what he was because that he wanted to be a leader. He wanted to be the one that led everyone and made them, follow his orders basically. But then, you know, by the end of it, you can kind of tell that this guy's just fucking batshit crazy, and he doesn't care about anybody at all. I mean, he's just nuts. And I like the fact that they left that story completely open for the next season, because we have no idea what happened to the governor. He's just gone. I mean, he's just not there. So that was interesting. I didn't quite understand. I mean, I get it. I do understand. Isn't that funny how I just said I don't and do understand at the same time? You know, the prison obviously is the easier place to fortify, but I mean, if you know the governor's gone and all the people are cool with you being Rick and the people at the prison now, wouldn't you move into Woodbury and not the prison?
I don't think so. I think if you read way deep into it and you read into the fact that the people probably don't want to be there because of what they went through, because of... they had this false sense of security that the governor set up, and then they found out everything's fucked, and he has pet walkers, and he just kills people, and hey, we've been invaded, and now he wants us to go to war. I think it's one of those things where in the prison with Rick's group, they can almost start over and have what they wanted when the governor established Woodbury.
But yeah, but the thing that made Woodbury suck was the governor. So without him, I mean, the town itself was actually doing well, you know? I mean, they had it fortified. They were keeping walkers out. it was definitely a much more, you know, realistic and normal type of lifestyle than living in a prison. You know, unless they have a lot of interior decorators and there's all kinds of like furniture and nice stuff that they brought on that bus with them. But it's just
But Rick's group proved that a small band of people that are well armed can take over Woodbury. The same, and then the giant army from Woodbury couldn't take the prison. So from a security standpoint, it makes more sense too, because Rick's group is not strong at all. They've got Rick, who's insane, and they've got Daryl and Michonne. Other than that, those people are not traditionally strong people.
Yeah.
It's a young girl, a one-legged man, Glenn and Maggie, who are kind of just, you know, in love and just surviving at this point, even though I really want Glenn to step up. Yeah. So, I mean, there's groups out there that are definitely stronger, and if Rick's group took over Woodbury, somebody else's group can take over Woodbury, and then they'd all be screwed.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense to, you know, it is easier to fortify a prison. It's just, you know, I would go to the hardware store and at least get some paint. Start painting these cells up, making them look pretty or something. I mean,
let's make Little Ass Kicker a nursery.
Yeah, how depressing is living in a freaking prison? I mean, prisoners live there. I don't know. It's terrible. But hell, it's a post-apocalyptic world filled with zombies. So every time they walk by or like let walkers just go without killing them, it bothers me. Like if it were me, I guess it's the OCD in me. If there was a field of walkers, I'd be like, all right, we got to stop and just kill these walkers real quick. Like ultimately, I know there's millions and millions of walkers, but ultimately you could kill them all, you know? Like, that would be one of my priorities, exterminating walkers, like trying to get rid of, I'd start a count, like my cell would have like a count in it, you know, it's like, so far I've killed 8,732 walkers, you know, which means The population of the United States is X, and there's Y people living, so this is how many we have left.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't know, that's just me. But,
so what'd you think about Carl and his little turn that he's going through?
Carl's turning into a shithead. You know, I mean, I guess he, you know, theoretically it is the way you have to be. But, I mean, Rick has realized now that he needs to go the opposite direction and reverse his hard-assedness. He basically proved that Shane... And
hard acidness, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. He basically proved that Shane's theory of how you had to be is, in fact, incorrect. And Rick is becoming Rick again and not this, you know, Shane-ified. Am I using a fied to everything?
Shane-ified.
It works.
Hard acidness.
You know?
Now, I think that I'm glad you brought Shane up because I think that Carl is definitely becoming a product of Shane.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah.
I mean, you have the baby that is literally a product of Shane. But, you know, unless they fast track that kid to being five and developing a personality of its own,
it's going
to
age.
You have to have Carl as, you know, Shane was with Lori. So Shane was a stepdad to him. So he had to have taught him something. So that's their way of still keeping Shane on the show, where Rick can kind of go back to less hard acidness.
Oh, that's right.
Word of the day. Every time you hear that word, scream. Especially if you're listening to us at work.
Yes. Yeah.
Hard acidness.
All right. Anywho. Yeah, so yeah, Carl is definitely going to wind up becoming a Shane type of character, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I like the fact that Rick is going back into more of the, like, the real hero, you know, the classic hero, instead of more of you know, the arch whatever type of character. I'm losing my vocabulary. That's why I'm just adding a fied and acidness to things.
To go back one episode before the finale, did you think the wrap up of the Merle storyline was worth it?
I forgot about that. Well, it was a good episode. It was a weird the way. I don't know if it was an effective turn in his character, because I mean he did a 180 in the middle of it, and you knew it was coming, but it kind of came out of nowhere, like the way they did it in the episode. So it definitely wasn't the actor's fault. I would slight the writers more than anything, but it was still good. I mean, I really enjoyed it. The past four episodes leading up to the finale of every season of Walking Dead are always the best, because it's hyping you and hyping you and hyping you and getting you ready for that explosion at the end. This one wasn't the most explosive ending of a season, but it was still good.
It wasn't as emotional as last year by any means.
Right, exactly. This one didn't impact me as hard as like the previous couple of years.
Because I'm not gonna lie, when Sophie came out of that barn last year as a walker, I cried. Like,
yeah?
Hardcore tears as a father and everything else. I fucking cried. And this year, I'm like, yay, Andrea died. Woohoo!
Yeah. That's definitely a different feeling for sure. But, yeah, the barn, I mean, just the barn and the Shane thing. Now you're making me think. Like, I'm really, I've been loving Walking Dead this year, but now I'm thinking about it. And everyone kind of hated on season two. They said it was really slow. That was such a good season, though. The climax at the end was insane. It was so good. So, I mean,
I think 3 was really good.
It was. It was good. Wasn't as good, though.
On the Merle thing, I kind of wonder if that's some type of Michael Rooker contract. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Before the show started, he was the only actor with any type of name on there. Like, you've seen him in other things. Yeah. He was in Mallrats with... And he was in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. So he's been in different things that people have seen and heard of. So he was like the name of the show, other than who originally did it? Shawshank guy and The Mist, the director.
I don't know.
Anyway.
My brain's
so
off.
It was like the director and Michael Rooker were the people that you heard of. And now that whole cast is stupid famous. So I wonder if it was a Rooker thing. And that he wanted it to end, because from a storyline standpoint, and I don't read the comics, so I don't know how Merle, if Merle's even a character in the comics, how he ended up, how he ends up, whatever.
Yeah.
But from a storyline standpoint in the TV universe, I could see them needing Merle. And I could see the Merle, Daryl, Rick dynamic, because Merle proved that he's loyal. I mean, he was loyal to the governor. He was loyal to the group until T-Dog left him stranded because he dropped the key. And then once he found out Daryl was alive, I mean, he was loyal to his family and then back into Rick's group. So it seemed like he was just a good soldier type that would be loyal and follow orders to whoever wanted it. So from a storyline standpoint and a protection standpoint, I think that character could have went on and on and on. And really... by having Daryl end it when Walker Merle appeared, I don't even think that did anything. It felt like a kind of tug at the heartstrings moment instead of a genuine tearful moment like when Sophie was the zombie. Sophia was the zombie.
Yeah. So yeah, it felt more contrived.
Yeah, and the finale with Michonne staying there when Andrea died. It was the same thing. It was very contrived and like, oh, you're supposed to feel bad at this moment.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I think, like I said, I think season two ultimately was a better designed. It was a better example of storytelling, if you ask me. Just and the pacing of the entire season. You know, yes, there was a lot of slow. To get that payoff, but the payoff at the end was huge. So,
yeah.
You know, overall...
I'm standing by my statement that the finale of this year was amazing, and the season was good.
It was good. I don't know about amazing. I mean, it was good. I always love watching The Walking Dead every single Sunday. I mean, it's definitely, out of all the stuff that's on Sunday night, it's the first thing I go to.
Another Walking Dead news. A couple of weeks ago, got longer than that ago, a couple episodes ago for sure, I ranted about the Walking Dead video game.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who finally got the codes to play that bad boy? This guy.
Oh, I was actually going to guess.
And the reason I even bring it up is to give some resolution to the listeners to be like, I wonder if he ever got that fucking game. Well, the answer is yes, I did. But
everyone was dying.
I bring
it
up because the game is actually 5 episodes as well, and they do it like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like next time on The Walking Dead, and then they show you clips from the next game or the next episode of the game. But the reason I bring it up is because, like the TV show, the game was good in parts, but they kind of blew their wad in episode 2 of the game, and then the rest of it was just kind of eh and contrived, and you knew where it was going to go. So I wonder if the same writers were involved. So you have season 2 of the TV show being great and episode 2 of the game being great.
Yeah, could be.
If you haven't played it, I do recommend it. Not the TV show tie-in survival something. That's terrible. I played it. But the Walking Dead Telltale game that's based on the comics is definitely worth your time. Just know it's going to peak at episode 2 and not get much better after that.
What's the gameplay like on that? Like,
it's a choose-your-own-adventure story, essentially. You make decisions, and I decided before I even started playing the game that I was going to make Lee an asshole. Like, everything, every negative response Lee could give, that's what I made Lee do. So it's not action-oriented by any means. It's a lot of watching different scenarios play out and a lot of reading 4 little descriptions of, I want to say this, or I can say that, or I can say that, to form alliances and stuff. When it gets into the action part, it's essentially moving a crosshair over a body part that you're supposed to hit. For example, a walker's head, and then hitting the button before they can bite you. Or it's moving the left stick back so that Lee scurries across the floor to get away from a walker. It's not an action game by any means. It's more an interactive story. An interactive movie, I guess, would be a good term for it.
Okay.
I mean,
Yeah, I'm going to get around to checking it out. I've been dying to play this new Tomb Raider game that came out.
Yeah, I heard it's awesome.
I just haven't had a chance to look at it. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's partly that, but the chances I do have to do other things, I've been choosing to do other things, I guess. So
I've been choosing to race NASCAR online.
Everyone,
and I just want to say,
everyone's got their priorities.
Anybody who listens to this that may be playing NASCAR online, it's just a fucking game. I sit there with the headset on and I listen to these guys, and you would think they were Dale Earnhardt, and they're getting money for sitting there playing this game. So,
hey,
Xbox
man.
Live NASCAR community, calm the fuck down.
They take it
it's
serious.
Just a game.
You gotta take it serious. You gotta commit when you do something.
Oh, I commit, and I'm good. I mean, I'm getting way better, and
shit
I get
talking.
Pissed off when people wreck me.
Yeah.
But these guys talk like we're actually on TV racing this damn thing. I just sipped very delicately, so you couldn't hear my ice clink against the glass.
That's fine. What are you drinking over there? Whiskey on the rocks. Whiskey on the rocks, watching Barbie racing NASCAR.
That's my life. Welcome
night.
To it.
A night in.
So, what other shows have we been watching?
So many. Let's talk about one that we both watched because recently a show that was on last year had just come back. Which, if you're not aware, let's go ahead and. Well, I'll tell you what. If anybody can guess this theme song, guess what we're talking about now, then you must be really into this show because this is very not memorable. It sounds like every other theme song.
It's true.
I should probably turn it down so I can actually hear you. So the show Revolution came back on NBC, which has a lot of people involved in it that I'm a super fan of. This is Jon Favreau was an EP on J.J. Abrams, created the show? No?
No, he's an executive producer. He's an EP. As well. Eric Kripke, I think is how you say the last name, is the creator.
The Crypt Keeper?
Yeah.
Sweet. So, all right. So this show came back on. If you remember previously on another episode of Yakking Off, I think I mentioned that I was kind of getting a little bit turned off to it. It wasn't all that, like, I was just kind of getting annoyed with the pacing of it. And again, talking about contrived and how, you know, like forced it was starting to feel. There's so much potential with this story and with what they're doing that I feel like pacing is really important with everything that they do, you know. And it's, to compare it to another show that just came back on, Game of Thrones, it has that potential to be honed in on one little place and then spread out to, you know, all these bigger places. Because right now we're on the East Coast, which is where, you know, these guys are based right now, and which is where the Monroe Republic, you know, in Philadelphia is the headquarters there. But there's all these other militias and republics and people out in the rest of the country that obviously are going to start getting involved and, you know, expanding into. But the whole thing about the power and teasing the fact that they were going to have power again at the end of the last season, or the midway point of the season, and then coming into this one now where it's like, yeah, they do have power, and oh, they're not going to have power, and they do have power, and they don't have power, and now they do have power. It's just, I don't know. I was not blown away by the what are we, two episodes in now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably have a different reaction entirely, but to me,
I love it.
Yeah, see, I knew you were going to say that.
I'm such a geek for this show. I think it's just the Star Wars references in it blow me away. Especially since it's J.J. Abrams. Like, the last episode, as soon as he said, everybody report back to Echo Base. Like, me and Ryan, who was on the podcast a couple episodes back, he's my roommate, looked at each other and just kind of shook our heads. And then a couple episodes back, Miles Matheson is like, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah.
So, Miles Matheson, I mean, he's a badass. And I think he's one of the better characters on TV, because he, you know enough about him, but yet there's still something that's mysterious about him. Like, I want to learn more of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a badass that, you know, he's cool, even though he was Bella Swan's dad in Twilight, but that's the actor's fault.
Yeah. Well, he's
for taking shitty roles that made him a ton of money.
No, I think
so. I guess good on you, Billy Burke.
He's a great character. And the daughter is a great character, but the mom is super fucking annoying. I knew from, I could have told you like 3 or 4 episodes into the show that the fucking kid, as soon as they rescued him, was gonna die, because that's just bullshit. Fuck, and you waste all this time saving somebody and then they get killed. That shit happens fucking all the time. It's just dumb. I just didn't like it.
I kind of felt that was one thing that I didn't like, and I kind of felt like they're just jumping on the bandwagon of, oh, all the popular shows are killing major characters. I guess we need to do that too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone knows that is what makes a good show, is when you don't, when anyone can die at any moment. And that's the thing that network TV can't seem to get a grasp on, is the fact that they have to keep they keep these characters alive throughout the entire thing. And that's where cable is, you know, that's basically one of the things that's great about a cable network, is you never know which characters are going to die. So that I think being on NBC might hamper it a little bit, you know. It's, and I think it's hard.
I didn't care for it. The what?
I think it's hard to keep these really good shows compelling over 24 episodes, because all of the best shows and all of the shows that I love to watch are at most 13 episode seasons, because there's no bullshit, there's no filler episodes. It's just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, if you will. You know, there's no wasting time. It's just, everything is important, everything is good. So, and with the other thing that hurt Revolution, too, is that long-ass break, you know, which is another thing that falls into network television and the way they do their, you know, their seasons and their scheduling, because they have to worry about sweeps and ratings and, you know, advertising dollars and all that bullshit. And it's just...
The break didn't bother me either, because, you know, I'm kind of a right here, right now type of a guy. Like, I fucking want it. I can go to the internet and get it if I want to. But I'm also cool with, well, that was good. I don't want to oversaturate myself with something. I even with Star Wars, I brought that up in one of the podcasts. I don't want an oversaturation of Star Wars. I want just fucking calm and have to wait for something every now and again. And it builds up the anticipation and the excitement for me of when this show comes back on.
Yeah, I understand the waiting and the anticipation and the excitement is cool. But it, I don't know. It's not as good for storytelling, though. Like, when House of Cards was on Netflix, I watched that whole series in, like, 3 or 4 days. And I don't even know if we ever talked about it on the podcast, but it's
no,
good.
Yeah, but...
Super recommend House of Cards to anybody who has Netflix. And I also recommend, I don't care what the damn show is, just support Netflix and Hulu and whoever wants to put out original programming that way, because I want the people that make the shows that we all love and get millions and millions of viewers to understand that people would sometimes like shows that they can watch at their own leisure. You know, it's basically whenever you want to watch it. You know, if you want to binge out and crack out on it for 7 hours in a day, then, you know, you should have that option to do. It's awesome. I mean, it's just great when you can sit there and like on a Saturday when there's nothing else to do, you just veg in front of the TV and just get sucked in. I mean, because you totally get sucked into the world. You get sucked into the characters. You know, you really start to kind of feel it and experience it in a more emotional way. So there's things to be said about either one, but I don't know. The revolution is just, it's, I'm going to keep watching it. I'm not bailing on it. I'm not giving up on it, but I'm a little bit disappointed because I think it could be better than it is.
I agree in that it could be better than it is, but I really like it, man. I think it's my favorite drama show on TV or action show, whatever you want to call it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's so many good shows. And this is the part too. I mean, just having access to cable shows and more premium cable is just the best, you know. And I'm still watching all of these shows and I love it. I mean, I love TV. I watch so much freaking TV, it's ridiculous. Right now the shows that are really just kicking ass, Spartacus this season is unbelievable. And have you watched Spartacus at all?
This season? No.
What about the before? I know you haven't seen it this season, but like, have you seen any other?
I saw the original, and then I saw the prequel.
Yeah. This.
And then the prequel season, and then I started to see the season before this one, and then we moved, or I got rid of Stars, or whatever the case was. But
yeah. It is so good this year, because they knew exactly where it was going to end. They knew exactly that they needed it to end. Every episode is just action-packed, just full-on amazing. And then when they do slow down and they have, you know, the random titties and sex scenes and stuff like that, the girls that they cast on that show are unbelievably hot. Like, they have this redhead this year that they make you, for the first, like, 8 episodes, you don't think you're, or I don't even know if it was 8, but you don't think you're going to see her naked, and then finally she gets naked. So that's the kind of thing I'm willing to wait for. Like, having to wait 10 weeks to see her titties was...
Oh, good. I'm glad you had that.
Yeah. I obviously have my...
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out when it hits Blu-ray, because I do want to see it. And I was a fan. I really enjoyed the other seasons. I would say that's one of my favorite shows, too. But then, you know, for whatever reason, either I moved or went on the ship or whatever, I stopped watching the third season and didn't pick it back up, but I really need to, because you keep plugging it, and I thought the first ones were great.
It's killer. And there's another show now, it's on the History Channel, which is not The Bible, which apparently everyone else in America is watching, but that show Vikings that came out, it kind of has elements of what Spartacus is, because it's history based, it's you know, swords and battles and stuff like that, but yeah, it's not the first show I watch, because it's on Sunday night, like I said, but it always gets watched before Monday, you know, or at the very latest, maybe on Monday. So, you know, it's not one of those shows where I'm like super excited and I'm running around telling everybody how amazing it is, but it is good. Like, it's definitely good. I definitely recommend checking it out, you know. And history puts it up online, so you can watch them all. I guess you'd have to be a history subscriber somehow, because it's a cable channel, so they're probably going to make it one of those things where you have to log in using your cable provider's login or whatever, like a lot of these channels do now. But I would recommend that.
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of those shows because I think I've said it before. I know I've said it to you. I'm very much into escapism and mindless background noise. So the shows I do watch are fairly intense, like Walking Dead and Sons of Anarchy and Revolution. So when I'm watching other shit, I watch like Family Guy and tons of just stupid reality stuff like Storage Wars and Pawn Stars and Duck Dynasty. I just like little things where I don't have to think too much. I think enough at my job, so I don't really want to come home and have to think too much either. So that's why I haven't caught shows like this. I'm definitely going to, but
it's good.
That's my thing. I want the escape, and I don't want to have to work too hard at it.
Yeah, it's definitely it pays to discover, and it pays to pay attention to the show. It's good. There's good action. There is a lot of it's not as crazy as say like a Game of Thrones where there's like a billion characters, which actually that show just came back on the air too, and that was a really good season premiere. You know what I'm gonna do? Just because I can, and I love it.
Beat off?
Yeah. Only if this is playing too, though.
Oh, Barbie.
Hard ass in this.
This is the best theme song on TV. It's kind of like...
Is that Spartacus?
No, this is Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Spartacus was the one where it was like... You know, it sounds like the Revolution people just took this and made a crappy version of it. The Revolution theme song.
Be this, surprised how much that music, everything sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, a lot of these TV shows, theme songs and stuff really do sound really similar. But how crazy is it?
If I were to pull up something from work and play it side by side with that, it would sound exactly the same. I know from doing pyro tracks, because I'm working with music for our 4th of July fireworks show, and I was given a direction, and everything sounds exactly the same.
Yeah. How crazy is it, though, right now, that there's so many shows on TV right now that are, like, you know, swords and medieval feeling, bloodshed. I mean, seriously, the geeks and nerds of the world have taken over television. And it is to all of our benefit. I mean, it's just great. It's fantastic. You know, I am a little bit pissed off that the Game of Thrones guy said that if he dies, he won't. He's not going to like leave any notes for anybody to finish the books, because apparently it's a 7-book series that's already kind of has like a an end to it that he already kind of knows what it's going to be. But he's already said, he's like, oh, if I die, that's it. The story dies with me. Apparently he's some like super fat fuck, and you gotta think about this guy right in the, you know, he's like in his 60s or something. I guess when he wrote the first book, he was in his 50s, maybe late 50s. The guy's writing a book about a brother banging his sister, a midget that fucks whores all, oh, I'm sorry, a little person that fucks dwarves. And I don't want to piss off the, Peter Dinklage,
the massive little people community that listens to us. Well, sorry guys.
I'd rather not offend them. I don't care about offending whores or people that practice incest. But you know, because they're making a choice. I mean, the little people weren't born; they were born that way. What do you want to, I'm all about the little people. But
me too.
This guy, I mean,
delicious chocolate.
But like, I don't. Like, the Game of Thrones story itself, with the wars and the people vying to be the kings and the dragons and Khaleesi and the queen of dragons, and do you really need a brother and sister to fuck each other in order for the show to be as good as it is? Like, did that need to be there? Is that pivotal?
Sure.
Huh.
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
I guess you're right. You've opened my
Sounds
eyes,
good
Jack.
To me. Somebody, you know, the incest community doesn't get enough attention.
Dude, incest is going huge.
By the gays or the little people or the autism kids.
Incest.
Someone needs to rise up for the incest community.
Incest is getting huge on TV. We had Game of Thrones had incest. Oh, shit. I know there's been other things recently that have had incest in them. Come on, man.
Okay.
Name something. I mean, they almost went down that route with Dexter, although that is not biological incest, so it's okay. That's condonable incest. But no, seriously, there are other shows. I'm looking it up right now because I know this is going to...
Yeah, let me know how your Google search on incest turns
out. Yeah, I'm going to end up on an FBI watch list right now.
Oh, goodness.
How about this? TheFrisky.com has an article titled 12 Examples of Not Totally Repulsive Incest Relationship.
It's all repulsive.
Spoiler alert. This is the incest episode of Yakking Off with Jack and Tom. I finally gotten us there, Jack. I've been waiting.
Thank you. I've been waiting.
The first one they mentioned is, damn, these are some hot ass girls on this website, though. Jesus, I don't know who these girls are, but they're hot. I think that's pregnant Kim Kardashian. She looks terrible in some pictures, but other pictures... The one picture, she looks like Shamu. Did you see that?
Where she's pregnant?
Yeah, but she's wearing, like, an outfit that looks...
A red dress or something?
No, it's like a white and black Shamu print dress.
So she legitimately looks like Shamu.
Yes! I think somebody photoshopped her into SeaWorld. Oh, this is driving me nuts. This is all, like, bullshit mentions. They're... doing in here. Oh, I can never count on the Frisky. I've never been to the Frisky before, but it's completely...
Does Bates Motel get into incest territory?
Yeah.
With Norman and his mom?
Yeah, that's the whole story.
Basically how she... So likes... there you go. There, I contributed. Game of Thrones, Bates Motel, incest community, go rush out and watch these shows.
I'll have a full update for the next episode of other... thing, because I had this thought in my head the other day. I'm like, seriously, like, what the fuck is going on with the people that are writing shows that all of a sudden it's not cool unless there's a brother and sister or like, okay. I just remembered Boardwalk Empire. The dude fucks his mom.
Ugh.
And it's like,
yeah, but
like, why?
I didn't watch that show, but I know the premise of it. So was that like a Oedipus reference, maybe? Because he wanted all the power.
Actually, it was the mom is the one that was the crazy one in that scenario. But yeah, there are definitely, you know, ties and, you know, and it parallels classic literature. But I guess I'm gonna go back and question them too. Like, what the hell? Like, we can't write stories that are interesting unless there's some crazy, illegal, weird, fucking weird, freaky shit going on. I don't know. All right, the end of my incest rant on fucking pop culture. What the hell? But we gotta wrap this thing up. This is going long. There's so much good TV on right now, though. So Jack and I are split on Revolution, but I suggest... I'm still going to watch it. I'm not giving up on it. Walking Dead, very excited for the fall. Want to see where they go with a lot of what's going on there. Spartacus this season, if you're not watching War of the Damned, there's 2 episodes left until the end of the whole series, and it is fantastic. I mean, it's absolutely incredibly good. It's awesome. Can't tell you enough that you have to watch that show. Get caught up on it somehow. Other shows, just a real quick honorable mention, on Wednesday night, my Wednesday nights are actually full now, where I went from having nothing to watch to everything to watch, because Arrow on the CW is actually a pretty kick-ass show. I watched the first, like, 3 or 4 episodes and never got really sucked into it, but I heard an interview with the lead character, I think it was. I can't remember shit. He was on Geek Time on Howard Stern's channel on Howard 101. And he did a really good interview, and it made me interested in the show again. So I went back and checked it out and listened to it, or watched it, I should say. And I had to miss like 5 episodes because Hulu doesn't keep everything. So that was a little weird to have to jump into and figure out what the hell was going on. But the show has gotten really good. It's did you ever watch that show, The Cape, that came out last year?
No.
Okay. Well, it wasn't last year, maybe the year before, but the
if
Arrow...
it was the year before, don't forget, I spent 4 months on a cruise ship, so I didn't watch much of anything.
True, true. So Arrow is a good version of The Cape, because The Cape was kind of silly. Like, everyone watched, well, the people that did watch it wanted it to be this amazing show that it never was, sadly. But Arrow right now, so far, it's awesome. I mean, there's great action. You know, it still falls into, because it's network TV again, so it kind of falls into the villain of the week formula a little bit. But there's a definite huge story arc. And there's a whole series of flashbacks in each episode where he goes back to this island that he was stuck on. It's kind of the origin story of how he becomes a superhero, basically. He's stuck on this island with the guy who plays Crixus from Spartacus. And I don't know what type of Asian she is, or what, you know, from where she is from or whatever. But she's basically a badass, like, kung fu teacher. I think it's
hard acidness.
I think it's kung fu, so it would have to be China. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But, hell, what the hell am I talking about? Arrow's a good show. Check it out. Watch it. The other thing on Wednesday night, I'm watching The Americans on FX. That's getting really good. You seen that at all? No?
No.
No, all right. This is another thing.
I'm telling you, man, I watch a lot of bullshit. My favorite show other than Revolution right now and Walking Dead that just finished is Celebrity Apprentice. That's the type of shit I watch.
Wow. You know,
that's literally my favorite show other than Revolution.
That's
and
why we...
I've loved every Apprentice, every Celebrity Apprentice, every whatever. I dig it.
Well, that's why we're podcast partners, because we have we have an overlap, but there's completely opposite thing. Like, I could give a fuck what Donald Trump has to say. Shit. I mean, he's funny when he's on Howard Stern sometimes, but... The Apprentice just seems awful.
Just garbage. It's awesome.
I've never watched one episode of that show.
It's great.
But the other show, bringing it back to Michael Rooker and ending the episode, is Michael Rooker did a guest appearance on the TV show Psych, which is on USA, which I don't know if I've said or not on here. If you don't watch Psych, you should watch Psych. I mean, that's
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say something deflammatory at that point, and I was going to be like, wait a minute, I don't watch Psych.
Well, this show, if you ever wanted to know what a TV show written by me would be like, it's basically Psych.
I know what a movie written like you would be like, and it's terrible.
What is that?
Your Highness.
Dude, Howard Stern, he interviewed James Franco, like, a week or two ago, and gave Your Highness glowing reviews.
It's terrible.
And my friend, my other friend too, he said the same thing. It's everyone agrees that I know it's good the first time. The second time, not so good. But I don't know.
Hey,
I loved
it. I found
it
the other day. You know, you still offered to buy it from me. So
yeah, that's true. I'll be down there in a couple weeks.
Brittany came carrying it to me. She's like, what's this? I said, that's Tom's movie. Put it back.
Don't ever watch this, ever. But, no, Psych is just great. I mean, it's just complete nonsensical. Like the writing is, I don't know, for some reason, it just makes me laugh out loud all the time. It's about a essentially fake psychic detective who has amazing ability to perceive things. But the 80s... pop culture references and musical references and just off the wall, crazy, weird like nicknames they come up for each other. Like, you know, basically, because they're investigating crimes, so they're trying to, you know, infiltrate places, so they have to come up with, like, you know, alter egos or whatever, like cover stories. And in the one episode, it has whatever that pretty boy from WWE, John Cena. He was a guest star on it before, and it was a military episode. And they sneak onto this military base, and the main character basically, you know, he always comes up with like a pretty cool name for himself, and then comes up with like a just complete dumb, stupid name for his partner. And the name in this episode was Gee Buttersnaps. So the whole time he's just calling him Gee Buttersnap. It's just it's stuff like that, you know. And then it's just like. Like he'll be like, you know, if the so it's basically it's a white guy and a black guy, and the black guy is like the sidekick, if you will. So he'll do something to kind of jam up the, like, he's the sensible one. You know, he's like, you know, we can't do this. And then Sean, the main character, will go back at him and say, you know, don't be, and then insert something here. And like the ones that come to mind that I'm trying to remember, you know, one of them was like, don't be this crevice in my arm. And he just points to, like, the crevice in his arm. And the other one was, like, don't be exactly half of an 11-pound something. Like, it's just dumb stuff like that. It just gets me every time, though. I highly recommend that show, too. So, I don't know how I'm ranting and raving, though. This is getting out of control. So, let's just wrap up our TV discussion.
Out of control.
What's the word of the day again?
If you have any shows that you'd like for us to talk about, here's how.
Here's how to order. Yeah. Your feedback.
So you can reach out to us at all forms of social media and emails and all over the interwebs if you want to. The first and easiest way is by our email addresses. Mine is jack@yakinoff.com. Tom's is yakin. Ah, shit. I can't even get it right. Tom's is tom@yakinoff.com. And then we have comments@yakinoff.com. And I will let you finish the plugs.
Well, you're doing such a good job.
Oh my god. No. Terrible tonight.
Alright, so we're on Twitter. We got @yakinoff. No G. YACKINOFF. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/YALJT. That's Yakking Off with Jack and Tom. Just the first letters of each word. YALJT. And if you go to yakkingoff.com, it points you someplace. Probably Facebook, maybe WordPress. I don't know. If I ever find some time or somebody that's willing to work for free or just my company, then maybe we'll have some actual blog and articles and who the hell else knows, online pictures of things like kittens dressed up in TV show characters reenacting revolution.
Because that's what everybody really wants to see on the internet, pictures of cats.
Yes, reenacting revolution.
Especially Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, that's all I see is Grumpy Cat.
People love the Grumpy Cat.
It's true. So email us your thoughts and opinions on anything you feel like. Feel free to give us feedback on existing shows and suggestions for new shows, and we definitely look forward to it because it helps us think of things, because we aren't that smart. We need your help.
We definitely do.
All right, thanks for listening. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Good night. Hard acidness.
Oh, Barbie, I'm so ready for you.